This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, TNA Hall of Famer, Bully Ray and I get into Grand Slam AEW Dynamite from Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, New York. A historic night for AEW. We talk about the crowd, the aura, the environment, the whole feel of what was an amazing night last night. Also, we get into the opening contest between Kenny Omega, your AEW World Champion, and Brian Danielson right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Over 20,000 fans for AEW Dynamite, Bully, and I think before we dive into the actual show and, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly from what we saw last night on Dynamite, I really want to take a moment and say, you know, wow. The fact that in 2021, we're talking about over 20,000 fans in attendance for a show, not a pay-per-view, not a WrestleMania, but for a show outside the world of the WWE. This is something that we never thought we would see, Bully, if we had this conversation 5 years ago, 4 years ago, even 3 years ago, and here we are having this conversation. So I think it's pretty cool that we could talk about a situation like the one that we're going to talk about this morning.
In its very short time, AEW has had a few moments that they've been able to say, you know, this is an important date for us. This is an important date for us. Last night, I believe that AEW was able to put their flag firmly into the sand and say, we're here to stay, and there's nothing you can do about it. 20,000 people in New York City only coming to see AEW is a pretty big deal. We talked about it yesterday, how, in my opinion, it was a bigger deal than Ring of Honor and New Japan selling out Madison Square Garden. There's so many positives that came out of last night. When the show was over, I actually thought about a good, the bad, and the ugly segment for today, but there was no ugly on the show, and there really wasn't any bad. I would say there was good and fair that went on. There was, I mean, obviously the good was the crowd. The crowd was off the charts. Always compare the crowd in AEW to the crowd in ECW, blah, blah. But you could see how that crowd makes all the difference in the world. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown could do 20,000 people, and it's still not going to sound like that right now. Yes, it might sound like that for Roman Reigns, but it's not going to sound the way it did continuously through the show. Although, there was about a half an hour last night where the crowd was not as live as you would thought they would be. We're going to get into that a little later, and I'll try to tell you why and break it down for you. Amazing night for AEW. Amazing night for AEW fans. Came across great on television. Shout out. Standing ovation, round of applause to the sound engineer in the production truck who was able to keep those levels where they needed to be so it came across the right way on television. I think New York City by far was the loudest crowd we've seen for AEW. Yes, you can isolate Punk's return in Chicago in front of his hometown as competition for that. But New York was off the charts last night. Phenomenal show. Great time. Looking forward to talking about it. What I'm looking forward to also, Dave, fans that might have been in attendance,
yes,
please call in 877-344-4893. Fight your way in. Fight your way in. The phone lines are open, and you can fight your way in, yeah.
Okay, all right, Bully. One thing I do want to say, and that is, and I've said this repeatedly over the last few months, but 6 months ago, Bully, you know, we weren't able to see any wrestling live. You know, and I know I'm kind of repeating myself, and I've said this several times, but I think it's important to remember. Because, Bully, as you know, life moves pretty fast, and people tend to forget. I don't want to forget the feeling what it was for a year and a half to watch empty venues and the Thunderdome and not being able to see your favorite wrestlers or your favorite shows live. You know, 6 months ago, we weren't able to do that. And here we are 6 months later, Bully, and we have over 20,000 fans at a pro wrestling show. Like, I never want to forget the feeling, because I really do want fans to appreciate these types of moments. Because there was a lot of time during that year and a half, Bully, that I doubted that we would get to this point. And if we did, when was it going to happen? We're there. So I hope fans, and I hope the 20,000 fans that were there last night, or people who have tickets for upcoming shows like Extreme Rules on Sunday, appreciate the fact that you get to see pro wrestling live again.
I'm thoroughly convinced that the fans that were there last night appreciate it. How could you not appreciate it? If you're an AEW diehard, last night was one of the biggest nights in the company history. I mean, 20,000 fans came out to see your show live. Hopefully tonight the rating reflects in that. And I think it will, especially considering how the first 40 minutes of the show would and how they tried to rope them in. But AEW fans should be quite pleased with last night. I can see WWE fans bitching and moaning about it. One of the things I started to recognize just yesterday on social media, because there was a lot of banter between some diehard WWE fans and diehard AEW fans. And we're not going down this road. I'm just going to mention it,
yeah,
because it's becoming more and more obvious. AEW diehards hate when we give constructive criticism about the product. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, even if the constructive criticism is dead on balls accurate, they hate that.
Agreed.
Okay. And WWE diehards hate when we put over AEW.
1,000%, yes.
If you're a WWE diehard, today might not be the show for you. Although we do have Liv Morgan coming on,
yes,
at 11 a.m.
Yeah, you may want to tune out until 11 a.m. because you're not going to like what you hear over the next 2 hours. And you know what? Open your ears and open your eyes. I mean, there is a wave coming, and it's called AEW. And you know what? Enjoy. Nobody's telling you to hate the WWE. Nobody's saying that. But open your eyes to a different product that definitely is hitting on all strides. You mentioned the 20,000 at Arthur Ashe Stadium. First of all, my wife was watching along with me. She's been at that venue many, many times.
No, she wasn't. Your wife wasn't watching with you. She was in the front row with me, just as I said she would be.
You did say you had front row seats for last night, and there you were with the lovely Violetta. I mean, boy, you spare no expense, Bully. Those are the best seats in the house.
Come on. I would do anything for my Violetta.
Amazing. And shout out to the Busted Open Nation member that had those fat heads. But she's seen that stadium many times. And she said, like, I've never seen that stadium look as wonderful as it did last night. And it did. And it was almost WrestleMania-esque in this way, Bully. The set that they had, and it was the normal set with the exception of the LED entrance ramp. But seeing, like, the sections of fans behind the set, you normally don't see that unless it's a WrestleMania. And I thought that was a really cool look that made that stadium look even nicer last night.
The first thing that I pointed out to Velvet when we were watching the show was, look behind the stage. When was the last time you've seen that? And she's like, I don't think I've ever seen that. I said, exactly. Normally, there are no seats sold behind the stage. Yeah, maybe there's been one or two shows that maybe a WrestleMania or a big Sky Dome show. Who knows? Whatever. But it's been a very, very long time, if any time, that we've seen seats sold behind the stage. That is really smart. I thought AEW actually scaled down their staging last night just so the people behind the stage could still see everything that was going on. And that's really smart on Tony's end, because if we can pack in more people so we can legitimately say there was 20,000 there, truly sold out to the rafters, sure, let's scale down our staging. What's the big deal? I've seen Billy Joel scale down his staging to put people behind the stage. I've seen Springsteen do it. I've seen plenty of rock and roll acts do it just so they could fit more people in. Hey, more people means more money. It also means a better perception. So great job by AEW last night scaling down the staging and putting people behind it.
Yeah, and they were able to do that, Bully, because at first those seats weren't available for last night. You know, originally it was going to be 18,000, and then they made it 19,000, and then they opened up more seats over the last 24 hours before the show to make it over 20,000. So they really did their best to scale down the set and open up more seats. Like you said, that's a smart thing. You know, that, you know, it's been very, very rare over the last few years, Bully, that pro wrestling is like the must-see ticket. And last night, AEW was the must-see ticket, especially for guys like you and I. You know, we are here on the East Coast. So I live in New Jersey. You, Ed lives in New York. Like, we live in this area. So it was a lot of buzz. A lot of people, as I said yesterday, a lot of people texting and calling me, hey, could you get me tickets? For the few hours leading up to that show last night, I had a lot of people call me saying, where are you? We want to meet up for a beer. Like, I wasn't there at the show last night. So a lot of people thought I was. A lot of local New York media was at the show. I saw a lot of newscasters that hadn't been at wrestling show for years or no wrestling shows at all were in attendance for that AEW show last night. I can honestly say, Bully, I probably didn't get the type of feeling I got last night. You probably have to go back to the Attitude Era for that kind of feel to the show that we saw last night.
Crazy you should say that. That's exactly what Velvet said. She goes, this reminds me of the Attitude Era. And that is a compliment. And talking about the newscasters, you know, how often does the news cover pro wrestling?
It's rare, if at all. Remember, Bully, back in the day, once in a while, Warner Wolf would show a clip of a local wrestling show, and that was the only time you got to see pro wrestling.
Warner Wolf and who else?
I don't remember who. I just remember
Warner
Wolf.
Was it a George Michael? The George Michael Sports
Machine?
Oh, the
George Michael Sports Machine. Oh, my God, Bully. You just brought a flow. Holy shit, you brought a flow. He used to do that, too. Every once in a while, George Michael would show a clip of a pro wrestling show. My Sports Machine. Oh, my God, that's a throwback.
My point with the news is the news is only going to report on pro wrestling if something really big is going on in pro wrestling.
And or something
in a market,
bad.
Yeah. Right, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And in a market like New York City, if 20,000 people are showing up to the Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium to see pro wrestling, the head of the news station is going to go, there's something going on here. Let's get somebody out there to cover it. And that is how this, you know, this powder keg that is AEW right now explodes every single week. It's like, what is that called? You know, the wick, not a wick, what goes in the dynamite? What do you put in the dynamite? You light it and then the dynamite blows up. What is it?
The fuse?
What is it? Yeah, the fuse.
You're talking about?
This AEW fuse is burning steady, and it burned right through New York last night.
You know what? That's a great point by you, Bully, because if AEW is at the Garden, it would be a big deal for us because we would be like, oh, my God, AEW is at the WWF's home, Madison Square Garden. But to a local newscaster, hey, they're used to pro wrestling being at Madison Square Garden and selling out. That's old news. That's nothing new. But at a stadium like Arthur Ashe, there's never been a wrestling show at Arthur Ashe Stadium. So you're right. Like, that's so unique and different. And the fact that they sold it out and then had to open up more seats to fit more people in. And you know what? The other thing too, Bully, is that pro wrestling is no longer that guilty pleasure. It's no longer that, like, I like wrestling, but I don't like to talk about it. There's a new generation of sportscasters and newscasters that have no problem declaring that they're pro wrestling fans. So it's really the perfect storm, especially in this area for AEW.
With business being business, and if you're Tony Khan and the Barclays Center or the Garden ever picked up the phone and said, hey, you want to come run your show in our building? If you're Tony Khan, what are you saying?
He's saying yes.
You think so?
I think so, yes.
I say no.
Really? Why?
Because Tony Khan doesn't need the Garden or the Barclays Center. He has Arthur Ashe.
Wow.
He established his own home in New York City. Yeah, sure, Vince. Yeah, the Garden's yours. Yep, sure, no problem. Yeah, Barclays yours, no problem. I got Arthur Ashe. I got 20,000 people right over here. The only time, if that was me, I would carve out my spot in New York. I don't have to get into a pissing match with the WWE. I don't have to put my show on Monday nights. I don't have to run in their buildings. The next step for AEW, if they ever wanted to do, you know, New York again, wait for the right time, I'd go for a stadium.
Yeah, you know what, Bully? And
lofty,
this is
lofty feat, and would be a hell of an accomplishment. But I'd try to run a stadium.
You know what though, Bully, and this is where I got to eat a little bit of crow. And when it's come to AEW, you've been pretty spot on about your projections and what you thought was going to happen throughout these last 2 years. And I'm going to bring back a conversation that we had before AEW Dynamite even debuted. And you talked about the possibilities of arenas, filling arenas, and what the ratings could possibly be for this new show. And Cody said, before their first ever episode, Cody said that we are not going to run any shows around WrestleMania. And I remember you coming on the air, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but I remember you coming on the air and saying, you know what, that's smart. You know what? Why do you want to hitch your wagon onto somebody else's popularity? Don't do. And I was like, I don't know if I agree with that, Bully, because you know what? Perception is reality. If they were able to have some, and now looking back on it, it's almost like a ridiculous conversation, but it wasn't a little over 2 years ago. Like, I was like, establish just big crowds. I thought it would be smart if they did run shows WrestleMania week, because you would get big crowds. You're guaranteed to get those big crowds and then see where you go from there. But looking back at it, it's almost a ridiculous statement by me because of what they've been able to accomplish on their own. Because, and a lot of younger fans or a lot of newer fans that may have just started watching wrestling because of AEW. I mean, that's a conversation at some point that we have to have, Bully. There's a new generation of fans that might be watching because of AEW. I'm the 50-year-old man that for the last 20 years, the pro wrestling world has been completely dominated by the WWE. This is a new generation. I'm sure there's a lot of fans that are watching pro wrestling for the first time because of AEW.
Before we take a break, watch this. Tell me that Ring of Honor and New Japan sold out Madison Square Garden.
Ring of Honor and New Japan did sell out Madison Square Garden.
It's because WrestleMania was in town. Tell me AEW sold out Arthur Ashe.
AEW did sell out Arthur Ashe.
You're damn right they did. There's no but. There's no... They did it on their own. They didn't have to ride the coattails of the WWE. They didn't have to piggyback off the WWE. They went into New York City cold and hot. Cold meaning it's just our company showing up in New York to say where we're going to show it up in Des Moines, Duluth, Bangor, or God's country, Sheboygan. I'll say it again for the people in the back, Sheboygan. And they went in hot with the hottest product in pro wrestling right now. And that's why you got 20,177 people. Listen, folks. This company is hot right now. This product is hot right now. They are gaining steam. They are catching more and more fire. As I said, I hope the rating reflects for them the magic that they had last night going on in that building. You're not stopping this. You weren't able to stop ECW. ECW stopped itself. You weren't able to stop WCW. WCW stopped itself. This is where history gets a little askew. You know, what do they say? The victors get to write the history books or whatever?
Yep, they get to rewrite history.
Vince didn't put ECW out of business. ECW put ECW out of business. Vince didn't put WCW out of business. WCW put, you know, them out of business. Bad mistakes along the way by Eric and Paul that eventually led to the demise of those companies. And Vince McMahon is not putting Tony Khan out of business. If anything, Tony Khan will have to put Tony Khan out of business. But I believe Tony Khan has learned from the mistakes of Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff. And on the way, and as they go forward, I believe the mistakes will get smaller and smaller and smaller. So AEW is going to be around for a while, folks. So WWE fans, you might want to check it out. This way you could say that not only you're a WWE fan, but you're an AEW fan also. And you could just be a pro wrestling fan and end it at that.
And I think that's the best thing in the world is just being a pro wrestling fan.
Hi, everyone. This is Heisman Trophy winner and NFL quarterback Doug Flutie. I'm excited to tell you that my podcast, the Flutie Flakes Cast, is back for the entire football season. I may have played like 21 years of professional football in three different leagues, but I'm still just a big kid, and I absolutely love this game. Every week, we'll talk about the topics I care about and bring on super fun guests. So please subscribe today, wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app. Include it with most subscriptions.
Your AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega, going up against Bryan Danielson in a non-title match, 30-minute time limit. And instantly, I thought of you, Bully, because, you know, there's a lot of times you talk about, hey, you end with rock and roll all night, but you open with Detroit Rock City. That's exactly how Dynamite started on a Wednesday night.
And it's interesting that you bring that up because this was a comparison. That's the exact comparison I was going to make. However, there's a problem when you open up with Detroit Rock City and you can't finish with Rock and Roll All Night. If you're going to open up that strong, you have to finish as strong, if not stronger. So let me ask you this. Do you think the show closed as strong as it opened?
No. And that's not taking anything away from the main event. I mean, what we saw between Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, you know, there's a lot of people are saying that's the match of the year. So, like, it's almost impossible to follow up from that match.
And isn't it amazing that these people are calling Kenny and Danielson the match of the year when they worked a Danielson Ring of Honor match and not a Kenny five-star match machine match? That Bryan Danielson slowed Kenny Omega down and made him fight. What's so funny?
There was something last night, Bully. I apologize. But there was something last night that happened in that match that literally made me laugh out loud. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but there was a point where Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega are fighting outside the ring on the LED entrance ramp. And the ref was out, and I'm thinking of you because the ref is checking on both of them, and he's standing outside the ring like, get back in the ring, get back in the ring. and he's not counting. And I'm like, oh my God, Bully is going to be like, what the, you know, why is the ref not in the ring counting? And Kenny Omega did something that he didn't need to do because the ref wasn't even counting. Kenny Omega ducked under the ring ropes to break the count and then popped back in and went back to work on Brian Danielson. I'm like, wow. Like, that is definitely being, you know, detailed. That's dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Because honestly, Bully, the way the ref was acting, Kenny Omega didn't even need to do that, but he did it anyway. Almost like he was like, hey, Bully's going to say something about this. So I'm going to duck under that second rope and I'm going to go back to work on Brian Danielson. I actually laughed out loud when that happened last night.
Listen, I could talk about the referees all I want. And last night, the ref in that match was Paul Turner.
It was a great referee. Yeah.
I like Paul Turner a lot. I worked with him in Ring of Honor. He is a super cool dude. And you have to remember this. The referees are always going to do what the boys want to do, and they basically got to follow suit. No referee has so much juice that they're going to go, hey, Danielson, hey, Omega, you're making me look stupid. So, you know, you can't be out on the floor that long, yada, yada. But what you can do as a unit is work together so the referee does not look stupid. Yeah, they were on the floor a lot or outside the ring. Paul Turner, I don't necessarily have a problem. I don't have a problem with the referee going outside and checking on somebody real quick and then getting back in the ring and doing the count. And I'm a big believer in wrestlers who know what the hell they're doing, can keep credibility on the referee, still do their stuff on the outside within the limits of the 10 count, and everything is buttoned up and tightened up very nicely, and everything works. Boom. Let's get back to the match. I don't think the show closed as strong as it opened because I don't think it could have. That match was a banger. That match was off the charts. If that was a house show match, they wouldn't have to have locked up for about another 10 minutes because the people would have probably given them a standing ovation, a this is awesome chant, and everything in between just from Kenny and Danielson looking at one another. Yep. I really enjoyed the match because it wasn't a typical Kenny match. Danielson slowed him down, made Kenny fight. I got a good fight combined with some great wrestling moves. Things made sense to me. I understood them. I loved Kenny working on Danielson's neck. I loved announce team telling me that Kenny was smart enough to know Danielson's history of his neck injuries. See, people, that's good storytelling. That's when shit makes sense. Not just a bunch of moves for the sake of moves. There was a direction that they were going in. The show started so hot. So, so hot. That it was unfollowable. Not even CM Punk could follow that match.
It was... Like
and
you
he
said,
didn't. No. He didn't. Now, not that Punk himself didn't follow it. The fans were blown. The fans were blown up. It's like 20,000 people had sex with one another and they needed a cigarette afterwards to come down from that amazing orgy that they just saw in the middle of the ring. Gabby's popping right now because I said 20,000 people had sex, orgy. She's laughing her ass off.
Yeah, she is.
If you listen, when Cult of Personality started to play, the people popped and they were singing and then Punk comes in the ring. But if you watch and listen to the people, they were like, oh my God. They felt like they just went 40 minutes in the ring. And not only were they blown up from that first match, they were a little disappointed by the finish. I loved the finish. I thought it was the perfect call. And I liked the way that they went into the finish in the midst of a fight. It wasn't with, oh, somebody almost pinned somebody, and then a reversal of a pin, and one, two, and then all of a sudden the bell rings. We've seen that wonky crap before. It was right in the middle of the match. Perfect way to end it. another thing that'll tell you how disappointed the fans were by the ending. And when I say, I don't think they were mad. I just think that they were disappointed. Maybe a little let down. Go ahead.
They were surprised because, and yay or nay this, but back in the day, you would get the ring announcer saying 5 minutes left in the match, 2 minutes left in the match, because the fans didn't see the end of the match coming. Like you said, they were into, I mean, kudos to the crowd. They were into every single thing that was happening in that match. So when the bell rang, it was like, what? Like, what? They didn't see it coming because you know this, like, you usually need to hear that 5 minutes left in a match, 2 minutes left in, 60 seconds, 30 seconds. Because if they would have heard that, they would have been screaming. Because they know something has to happen now or this match is going to be over. It came out of nowhere. The bell rang and it was like, whoa. What happened? What's going on?
If they would have done that, I think they would have stooged themselves off that they were going to 30 minutes. I mean, people were chiming in on social media and saying, oh, once JR said it was a 30-minute time limit, they kind of stooged off the finish, yada, yada. I liked that there was no countdown clock. I liked that there was no ring announcer. It was good. It took people by surprise. Now, that surprise might have led to a little disappointment, but it was what it was. It was different, and it leaves it wide open for another match, despite the fact that Kenny Omega went on social media and said, ain't going to be no rematch, and I was ready waiting for Danielson to say, don't want one. Apollo Creed, Rocky. Ain't going to be no rematch. Don't want one. Anyway, the Bucks run out, and Adam Cole runs out. You would think there'd be a monster reaction to those guys just from the 20,000 people seeing them for the first time. There wasn't. The people were blown up, emotionally drained, and a bit disappointed. That's a lot of emotion coming out of you in 40 minutes. You're only capable of getting back so much energy. And I always use like the romantic or the sexual experience. Think about having one great experience and then having to go again and another great experience. And by the third or fourth time, you're like, all right, you know what? Leave me alone. I need to recharge. I felt that's the way the fans were last night, that they were like, all right, we need to recharge. By the time they were done with Punk's music, they were just like, whew. And then it really reflected in MJF versus Pillman.
Bullying, you're so right. Probably more than any other match I've seen from Kenny Omega. That was pure storytelling. And I think a big plus was not having Don Callis on commentary. Like, you know, and they actually meant, I think Tony Schiavone said, usually in a Kenny Omega match, Don Callis is on commentary. That would have definitely taken away from the match, in my opinion, if Don Callis was on commentary. I like that Don Callis was outside the ring. His facial expressions were amazing. If Don Callis was on commentary, he would have said a lot of stupid shit that wouldn't have added to the match. All right? That was a classic match that I could go back and watch again and again. And when there is a classic match, just as much as it is a classic in the ring, the commentary needs to be classic. That was the best call that I've heard from this team of Excalibur, Jim Ross, and Tony Schiavone. If you don't believe me, go back and watch that match. That was the beauty of JR and Schiavone in that match last night.
The biggest compliment that I can pay to Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson this morning is this. I hate 60-minute Iron Man matches. The only time I like a 60-minute Iron Man match is when I know that there's talent in there, athletes in there, wrestlers in there who can carry 60 minutes the right way and keep me invested from minute one to minute 60. Guys like Shawn Michaels, guys like Bret the Hitman Hart, guys like Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson made me want to see them have a 60-minute Iron Man match. That's where those two need to go.
Yeah, I totally agree because you know what? If I was in attendance last night in Queens, I would have been shocked by that bell too, because that did not feel like a 30-minute match by no stretch of the imagination. And that's the biggest compliment I can give them both, is that you could have told me that they were in the ring for 10 minutes and I would have believed you. That's how good a story that they told in the ring last night.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Ed Robinson. The associate producer is Gabby LaSpisa. Andy King is the director of sports podcasting for SiriusXM. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.